Just remember, you know, lean in.
Right.
Right. But only when you talk. The rest of the time, you can just relax.
Well, I'm planning on talking a lot.
Sure. Talk to your heart's content. I'm only here as an enabler for the knowledge that you have to give. See, like, that could just be a really good intro.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll do, like, a slow transition in. Baby Pictures Famous Dictators Podcast, episode 13. With me today is Lacey Warner. Say hi.
Hello.
Lacey writes the sex column for the Elle magazine, and she has a forthcoming radio show on K-Chung in L.A. called Tell Them the Great Name.
It's She Said, She Said.
Working title.
I'd also like to let you know that Kermit is blushing right now.
I am. I'm really bad at the intros. Don't share that. They're supposed to think I'm this professional, stoic.
I just think I'm really nervous.
Yeah. I'm scared of strangers. My mom warned me. Also first stranger on the podcast. That's exciting. So, you know, all you strangers out there have been listening and not trying to come onto my podcast.
He really does respond. I hit on Carmen. To
She did a great job, too. That's why I knew that she would make for great material. So we're going to talk about, maybe us, you helped too, inadvertently, but like passively. So we structured this that if you listen to this podcast, you will be able to have the perfect sexual life by the end of it.
Absolutely, like just total ecstasy.
Everything you want from a relationship, sex, connection, it's all going to be in here.
Well, I can help you with a great sex life and maybe a relationship, but...
Dating, you're really...
I'm really good at dating.
Good.
I'm really good at being friends with my ex-boyfriends.
Ooh.
But I'm not really good at getting past the third date. I make a great first impression.
So you've been collecting a lot of these ex-boyfriends, at least you.
Yeah, I have lots of ex-boyfriends.
And you're friends with all of them, which is great.
Not all of them, but I'd like to think nobody wishes me ill.
I don't. Yet. Well, yet.
The night is young, yeah. Kevin. The night is young.
So just, you know, a brief intro for people. Maybe explain how you came to write the sex column for the Elle magazine.
So the Elle magazine had a competition, actually, where they put out a call for sex columnists, and you had to send them like a cover letter and two stories.
Sure.
And then 6 months later...
Yes, this is how it goes.
They picked three of us, and they had a competition, and they let the readers vote. So I think my mom voted 900 times, and I won.
Thanks, Lacey's mom.
Yeah, thank you, Mom. Thanks, Mom.
Great mom. And so maybe just going off that, just give a brief explanation of what sex is for virgins and stuff.
Well, I was thinking, this is actually a complicated question, I think. So
there's multiple facets to it.
Right.
At least in my experience, maybe other people have had more straightforward things.
No, so medically, I think sex is any time you penetrate digitally or with your dick, vagina, oral, or anal.
You're talking about digitally with the fingers.
Yeah, with the fingers.
Not over the computer. With your Galaxy S2 shoved right into an orifice.
With your iPod. like with your fingers.
I just don't want to confuse anyone. There's probably a lot of teenagers listening to this who are now gearing
up. Yeah, there's probably a lot of teenagers listening to this. Because that's your demographic.
That's my following. 13 to 14-year-old boys.
Well, I hope so. That's my demographic. So I think that when you go, if you were to go to the doctor and they were like, are you sexually active? If you do any of those things, then yes, you are sexually active. However, so also thinking that though, the other day I was like on a date and I remember being like, we're not going to have sex, but I'll let you come on my tits.
Sure. This is a thought that goes through my mind on almost every date.
And so, I mean, that used to be like my go-to.
So that wouldn't be sex in your estimation.
I mean, I don't think it is technically sex, but then afterwards, and so I used to do this a lot. But recently with this one guy, I was like, why do I feel like so vulnerable about that? Or like, why was that so intimate for me? And then I was thinking, it's really kind of the same thing as sex. Like, what's the difference between letting someone come on your tits and like fucking you, right?
That's a very profound question.
I just think they're both as intimate.
Sure, I would agree.
So my new boundary
is no coming one's allowed on the to tits. Come. Oh, no okay, okay. That's a great line to draw in the sand.
Yeah. So we're like,
if you come over this line, sex.
Yeah, or just like, you know, it's like on you're on a first date and you're like, well, maybe I don't want to have sex, or like, well, what does that really mean? Now it's like, no one can come. That's my new thing.
Right. There's no transmission then.
Yeah, or transference.
Transference, sure. Great answer. I think that was in depth, and everyone at home knows exactly what you're talking about now. And next time I'm on a date, I'm going to be like, this girl's definitely wondering if she's going to let me come on her tits tonight. Which is a perfectly natural question to ask. Going off that, we're talking about the digital shoving Samsungs in people's orifices. You've written a bit about how technology has impacted dating, sexual life. Do you think it's enabled or complicated meeting people, maintaining a relationship?
I think it's ruining our lives.
Do you?
I am so against the computer, and the internet, I think, is specifically ruining all of our lives.
You feel as it makes us, it creates a disconnect between maybe our bodies and our minds that didn't exist before?
Absolutely. I mean, just, okay, so recently, I know that maybe you wanted to use this question to talk about like online dating or something, but I keep thinking about porn.
Sure.
And as a pretty like randy lady, I don't have a problem with porn.
Sure.
But I sort of feel like it's becoming an epidemic and it's destroying a lot of young men's ability to connect with people in real life.
Is this a phenomenon you've experienced firsthand?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
And it's so upsetting to me.
That would upset me as well.
And here's the thing, like, I don't watch porn.
Neither do I, in fact.
Wow.
Yes.
And it's not out of, like,
it disgusts me as a fourth wave feminist, no. It just literally disgusts me. I don't like it.
Well, yeah. It sort
doesn't
of,
do it for me.
Exactly. Instead of, like, building a fantasy for me, it's always just, like, broken down the fantasy. But also because when I first started, like, masturbating, I remember being able to not even think of anything and just like, touch myself and be like, whoa.
Get off on the feeling.
This is crazy. And then
just for everyone home, she did spirit fingers.
Spirit fingers. And then slowly.
As I do when I orgasm.
I think you do more like confetti.
Yeah.
So anyway, but then I remember like actually having to start fantasizing about things.
Yeah.
And being really sad that I had to start using my imagination.
Well, that's how it essentially starts out with an adolescent. It's in your mind originally, and it's sort of been outsourced into this entity that's being put onto you instead of you onto the fantasy, maybe.
You mean with porn?
Yeah.
Yeah. So then if you go to porn, you lose your ability to even fantasize about things. Like, so many people I talk to, especially men, are like, what? I can't even masturbate without looking at porn. I have no ability to, like, just make up a fantasy in my head or remember things that I've done with people that turn me on. And I find that so sad.
I'm about to kill myself at the thought of
and
that.
And this is the other thing. And this is, like, so obvious, I know. But it was really upsetting when I was told about it. So this one person was just like, well, first of all, this one guy I know was like, I put the cursor on the X before I even start watching so that as soon as I come, I can just like snap it down.
And get back to his life?
No, just because it's like as soon as he comes and he realizes what he's been watching, he feels
guilt.
So disgusting.
Sure.
And he kind of, he calls it cranking, which is like when he cries and wanks at the same time. But this other guy,
the Urban Dictionary is probably lighting up.
Yeah. The other guy told me, and he was like, well, you start watching porn and it's like vanilla stuff, but you, and then, you know, you get really into it, but you realize.
You dive into the deep end.
You realize it's fake.
Sure.
So.
The artifice of the porn.
Yeah. Yeah. And so you keep having to go like darker and darker and darker.
Because, it's like a drug.
Well, yeah, because it also is more real. Like, if somebody's hitting someone in the face, they have to respond to that in a real way instead of just, like, faking an orgasm. And then I was like, oh, my God. This is so upsetting. So upsetting. And I just, yeah, I can't handle it.
So, porn, the porn aspect, I think we're maybe both against. But Would you acknowledge that there are parts of the social media landscape that have enabled people's connection and improved people's lives, at least in a romantic sense?
Well, you know, I think that something must have been wrong if we needed things like OkCupid or like Match.com or something.
Sure.
So I will acknowledge that people felt something was missing and we created these forums to help us.
Or people saw an opportunity to make money off lonely people.
Yeah, that too, if you're...
That's a cynical way to look at it.
But I don't think they're working. I think it's just like another way of like separating ourselves. I mean, there's nothing better than being at a party. You're standing around in a group of people. You have a beer. Maybe you're smoking a cigarette. You say something like, well, you know what they always say. And the person across from you goes... Never expect a Spanish Inquisition. At the same time, you say it, and you make eyes.
That's
and
a universal like, experience.
you're shocked that you both knew the Monty Python.
Right.
You start talking. The next thing you know, you're like, a few hours later, he has you pressed up against the wall in the back of a garden. I mean, that is what we all want, right?
Maybe. Sometimes.
And I think we could have it if we got off the goddamn computer. That's all I'm saying.
That still happens, though. I'd say it happens with a frequency that's equal.
To being on the computer?
No, than it was prior to the internet. You don't think so?
I don't know. I just think... Or, well, tell me in your experience...
As male experience?
Why you think that the internet has maybe helped romance?
Only because I've stayed in contact with people who I later became involved with, and I don't believe that would have happened in a pre-internet age.
Yeah.
That's and it true. Also enables me to get a feel of a person's personality and sort of put their through the romantic sieve, you know. Then the gold comes up when you pour the water in.
You mean if you're
you can get
like
a read
looking...
on someone, read their Twitter.
Oh God!
Look at
Carmen.
The aesthetic value of their Instagram pictures. Yes, this is
that
real.
Means creating
this is
a fantasy
real.
Based on a persona they have cultivated online.
You have a persona that's cultivated in real life too.
But when you have a relationship with someone, that's how it becomes a relationship. You stop believing in the persona and you see them for the complex person they are.
You could see someone for the complex person that they are on Twitter, too. It's real.
Did you just hear that?
Yeah,
you said?
Yeah, you can.
No,
I kid you not. It speaks to some people's deep complexity.
I think this... Oh, my God, no.
It's true. No. It's totally true.
All right, well, I think we'll just
we can agree to disagree.
Yeah, agree to disagree there.
Maybe you're not giving Twitter as a platform for human connection and expression its value.
All right, I will say this. So I
not only Twitter, other things.
I love Twitter and Instagram and Facebook, but they are all part of the like Lacey Warner that is the Lacey Warner who is part of the column.
Sure.
So a lot
it's
of
a
people,
cell.
It's a cell, and that is a persona.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people don't realize that in the column, everything that happens is true, but there's still, like, Lacey Warner is a persona, and then there's also this narrator, Lacey Warner, that's critical of what this persona does.
Right. You, in hindsight, looking back on what you did in real time.
So, but a lot of people, especially dudes, don't believe that there's anything else but this... Person.
Well, I would never suggest that there's a one-to-one ratio between who you are on the internet and who you are in real life. That'd be insane. But I'm still saying it's a representation of a person in a way.
But you're saying it's as complex as...
It can be, I feel.
It was seeing this mutual friend of ours.
Sure.
Or I saw him once. And became like slightly obsessed over on Instagram about him.
Sure.
And I was at a party and I was with this guy who was like super, super cool. Like the coolest person I've ever met. And I was telling him...
What was so cool about this person?
He's just, like, he's really successful at what he does and very attractive and also very aloof. Like, never really talks to me or gives me the time of day or, like, is in any way honest with me. So
He sounds amazing. He is a fucking liar.
But so we're, like, sitting there and making small talk and I was, like, for some reason going on and on about this guy... And how I had this compulsion to check his pictures on Instagram. And I was like, do you think he knows? I was like, I just want to make sure, like, you're a technology person. Is there any way they can check if I, like, can they find out that I've been looking at their Instagram photos? And he was like, no, Lacey, I do the same thing too. And I was like, please tell me what you do. And he's like, there's this girl that I really, really liked, but she left me for this other guy. And she has 44 pictures. And every day I wait for the 45th one of her and the new guy.
I think that's kind of poetic.
I mean, I was so shocked that he told me this. I was like, whoa, we're really getting somewhere, you and I. But also, so this guy that I was seeing that dumped me.
Now, how is that any different than Dante seeing Beatrice when she's 12 and he's 40 and he goes to the garden to see her every day and never sees her again?
I cannot believe that you just made a connection between Dante and Instagram.
It's possible. Why is it not possible?
Well,
how is that a connection that doesn't
Inferno
matter?
The Inferno was a satire.
Fine. It's actually a gossip column. It's just a long gossip column.
Yep. That's what I should have called the column, the Inferno.
There you go. Nine circles of hell. Dating in New York.
It'll be like Facebook, Instagram, right. Twitter.
Right, I lost my questions. Right now, continue.
And this guy that I was seeing that dumped me, so he started seeing someone else. And I knew that this was happening, sort of, because I could tell he liked this girl's photo on Instagram. And you know how normally you're like, whatever, but then you get that like sick intuition and you're like, no, this is
that existential tear opens up in your chest and Instagram floods in.
This is a real like. This is a like. You never liked any of my pictures, but you're liking her pictures. So yeah, do we really need to know that?
Maybe. Now you know that guy's not worth it. He won't even like your Instagram pictures. He's liking this other girl's.
It's true.
See? Fuck that guy. Otherwise, you'd be sitting in here stewing in your apartment.
Yeah. I mean, my Instagram photos are so funny.
Yeah, they're great. Didn't you have, what was the one of a dead carcass in here?
I found a dead mouse, but it was 6 years old.
Yeah.
It was disgusting.
Atrophied and stuff. Oh, this is a great lead into our next question. What's the proper amount of cyber stalking that should be invested before you ask a person out? Should there be any? Should it be impromptu, as you said, with the Monty Python? Oh, wait. I think we might have skipped the Monty Python.
Oh, I hope not.
We missed it, I think. Maybe tell your ideal situation with Monty Python.
All right, so this is the way that I would love to meet someone.
This is how you meet your husband.
This is how I meet my soulmate. So we're at a garden party, and we're all sitting around in a group of people. Maybe I have a drink and a cigarette and we're all chit-chatting. And I say something well, you know what they say. And then at the same time, he says, never expect the Spanish Inquisition. And we both look at each other in shock. What? You like the Monty Python?
Sure.
I don't even like the Monty Python. I just like that saying.
Okay. So this is a really bad start to the relationship. You're being disingenuous immediately.
He feels the same way. He's like, oh, yeah. Oh, okay.
Great combination of words, though. Great.
And then we have this really witty tete-a-tete, and we're just totally flirting and making each other laugh. And then later on, pushes me up against the garden wall. Boom.
Oh, he's a garden.
So if anyone out there...
Right. I don't know if I have an ideal pickup situation. I'll have to construct one, maybe. Maybe yeah. Later in the podcast, while you're talking, I'll muse about it. But back into the cyberstalking. Should there be cyberstalking, or it has to happen like that?
I mean, I feel we're of two minds. I think cyberstalking is so bad. I think you do come up with all of these, assumptions about the person that then maybe you have to hide.
So you're saying the charts I have in my room were all for naught?
Yes.
I don't know. I've had results with the charts.
I just think anytime you have to pretend you don't know something about a person, it's not good.
That's probably bad. That's starting off on a disingenuous foot. But then you can bring it out later and giggle about it once you have them in your lair.
Yeah, once you have them in the trap. Once you've gotten pregnant with their child.
Then you tell them.
You'd be by the way, I've planned this for years.
As you pull into the retirement village.
Was all part of my
Yes. I didn't really like Oscar Wilde. I was just carrying that book around because I knew you liked it.
Oh, that's kind of cute.
See? I'm gonna convince you that technology is good for romance by the end of this podcast.
All right. Well, maybe. We'll see.
Proper amount of cyber stalking beforehand. Once you're dating, how ingrained should you be in the other person's...
Well, I was once engaged. I bet you didn't know this about
I'm
me.
I'm learning this. I didn't know a lot about you, actually, before I
you
walked
didn't
in that.
Cypress
I wanted this to. I wanted this to be genuine. Although so, I'm going to pull some books out of my backpack in a little bit that I saw you liked on Facebook.
A little like Judith Butler. Yeah. 50 Shades
Joan of Grey. Joan Didion flying at me.
So I almost got married once. And we were very enmeshed in each other's like Facebook lives. We were long distance. And Facebook was relatively like still trendy or something then.
Hey, you were
like,
going to marry someone without living with them beforehand?
No, we had lived together.
Oh, okay.
We had lived together in London. And then I was like, I'm going back to New York. And then we were long distance. And so, but I remember when we first started dating, we were both on MySpace.
Ooh.
And then we made the transition to Facebook together.
Oh, that's adorable.
Yeah. But he, and so, like, we were, like, in a relationship, and he would, like, leave really cute videos on my Facebook wall.
This is, I'm like, really happy you guys didn't get married.
Yeah, being like, miss you, baby, love you.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
No.
So then when we had to, like, break up, we had to have this discussion where I was like, we have to take down that we're not engaged anymore.
Right.
And then taking it down, it was like, hundreds of people being like, what happened?
Oh, no. So you gotta delete that off the wall as soon as it happens.
You should never put it up.
Right.
You should
or that.
Put it up. And, but here's his thing. So he has never taken down.
That you guys are engaged?
No. He took down that we were engaged, but he has never taken down that he's in a relationship.
Yeah, well, maybe he's got a girlfriend right after.
He did.
Well, that's why.
He was, like, really lucky, but he's had, like, a string of girlfriends afterwards. He's never needed to. He's been single for, like, a month in between ladies. I almost feel like he was affirming his like, romance history by never taking it down. So, but I do think, long story short, I think you should really actually not engage with your romantic partner.
I agree with this. Like, I think that's a good idea.
The guy that I was seeing, we never became Facebook friends, and I am so glad. So glad.
Yes. There are ways in which it can, prior, maybe help a relationship along. But I feel like once you're actually in a relationship, it can complicate things.
Absolutely.
To a very dangerous degree. You know, save some mystery. You have to be able to surprise the person you're with. And if they know everything about you, never reveal it all. Always save.
Pockets of privacy.
Yeah. There has to be some privacy left. Post-breakup, how much cyber-stalking is the correct amount? Well, knowing how many Instagram pictures they have.
I mean, this is what I call cyber-stalking.
Thank God all my ex-girlfriends have blocked me on all of these things. So I have no point of reference, but you go.
I went crazy after I broke up with this guy. Because we were still Facebook friends, and I could tell...
You had, like, an HQ in your apartment with 7 computers open.
Yeah, but we were still friends, and I could tell that when he was like, oh, I like a picture of that cat, that he was, like, having unprotected anal sex with this girl. You know, when you just, like, know someone really well, and you're just like, what the fuck? And you can, like, go and you look at their pictures and create a whole narrative of this new life that they have. And it's like little daggers just stabbing you in the heart.
But you don't think people did this beforehand, before the internet?
I think they did it in different ways, for sure. But it wasn't so easy.
Right.
And so eventually I had to be like, we are not friends anymore. Defriend you on Facebook. But then I would still like wait for like one of my roommates to leave the apartment and hope that their computer was still on to their Facebook page. And then I could like go onto his page and see what was happening.
I can see why you're against social media now. I almost destroyed your life.
Yeah.
Just imagine like Van Gogh cuts off his ear and gives it to the girl who doesn't like him. Like what if he had Instagram?
Cut off his head
and hand it to her. Okay, so you've asked the girl out. You've done the right amount of cyber stalking.
I think is none.
Which is none. And I'll say a bit.
A
healthy amount. Everything in moderation, guys.
You're just going to look up her credit card history.
Yeah, get her social security number. You don't know what she's been doing before. Where is she shopping? This sort of thing. What ingredients go into a successful first date?
Well,
and a movie, like a next type date, skydiving, parasailing.
No, see, a lot of people want to do that. They're always
Have an
activity.
Who wants to do that? No, activity.
Yeah, people are always like, have an activity, go to the movies, go to the museum. I hate to do any of that.
No.
I like.
I've never done any of that shit.
Snuggle up in a semi-dark bar in a booth and chit chat.
There you
That's
go.
It. Get a bottle of red wine.
We're in total agreement on this.
And just get to know someone.
I don't know about the red wine because I get a little
drunk.
A little drunk off. No, just off red wine.
Oh.
I get the purple lips and I start slurring and then they have to drag me home.
I just think when you get a bottle, it's a good sign.
Oh, because you're sharing.
Well, just because you have to finish the bottle with the person. So you have to stay there for a while.
So you're saying you get them drunk. And
yeah, just that it means like, you know, when you go on a date.
The conversation has to go to like a terminal point.
Yeah.
Right. Gives you a nice, it's like structures the date.
Yeah.
Maybe we should advise giving a structure to the date. Not a stupid event, though. Don't go rock climbing with your first date.
I mean, I think the best dates that I've been on is just when you can get kind of real with someone right away.
Yeah, you can actually communicate with
them.
That's great advice. This question's good. What's more important, eye contact or genitalia contact on a first date?
Eye contact. But this is new for me. I will say that
you were previously a genitalia contact person.
Yeah.
You were up the genitalia school.
I used to just think that that was like part of the conversation of getting to know someone was having sex with them.
Ah.
And now I don't think that's the case.
There is more.
Or it's just different. I think
Maybe
that
it's
you
different.
Have
Everyone
to.
Changes.
Or I'm realizing this especially as a sex columnist because I think a lot of the people I go out with really just want to have sex with me.
Right.
And I have to even be more like, this is not, you know, the body's an 8, the mind's a 10.
You hand them a little card that explains that at the beginning of the date.
You know, I want you to talk about your parents' divorce and I'll talk about my fucked up brother. And
right.
We can hold hands.
Aw, that's adorable.
Yeah.
Also great advice. Hilarious anecdotes from past dates, like bad dates or anything.
That's a lot of pressure.
Just is it?
Put me under right
I
now.
Gave it to you. I emailed this to you earlier today. You had all this time to prepare hilarious anecdotes.
Oh,
people love that
hilarious
stuff.
Hilarious anecdote about a bad date. Well, I will say I was once at this wedding.
Right.
And
this guy took you on a first date to a wedding.
Yeah.
A third date to a wedding.
I was not on a date.
Oh, okay.
I went dateless to this wedding. This is just a funny story.
Sure.
I thought like, oh, this is my first wedding. I've only been to 3 weddings. So this was the first one I ever went to. And I was so excited because I just thought like, oh, you go to weddings and you like meet someone and you just get to fuck all night long. So
that's the only reason everyone's there.
Right? Right? And so I go and like, I think I'm really invited as an afterthought by the bride. Like somebody said no and she was like, okay,
she clicked the wrong thing.
But she sits me at this table. It was an actor wedding. The people getting married were actors. So everyone's like really beautiful. And she sits me at this table where I'm the only girl. And it's like 6 guys that I knew from college on one side. And then 6 new guys. And they're all devastatingly handsome.
Nice.
They all look like The Outsiders. And they're all doing this thing where they're like looking at me from like underneath their like slopey bangs and like also making like
with their leather jackets with the collars up.
Yeah, but they're like in tuxedos. But
they were combing their hair with
and they're all making like crazy
plates.
Eye contact in the way that like Tom Cruise does.
Right.
And
well,
so,
that's actually crazy eye contact.
That is, but they kind of do that. They're like semi crazy eyes, but you're like, oh, I feel like you're really paying attention to me. You're really listening to me. And one of them was like, Casey, what's your favorite movie? And I was like, my favorite movie is The Big Chill. I love The Big Chill. I start talking about The Big Chill. I'm like, William Hurt is amazing. He's my favorite actor in the world. I love William Hurt. I go on about this for like 5 minutes. I finish my monologue and everyone is just looking at me. Like no one's responded to this. No one thinks it's funny or like charming. They're just like bizarre like dead eyes. And so I was like, I guess nobody has seen The Big Chill. Later on, the dancing
I've never seen
started.
The Big Chill. I have no idea what you're talking about.
Oh, my God. Really?
You don't know. I know who William Hurt is, though. He's
okay,
a great
actor.
Okay,
well, that's good. That's important to the story. So later on, the dancing has started, and one of the guys comes over, and he starts dancing with me, and he puts me in this dip, and he leans down, and he whispers in my ear, "You are sitting next to William Hurt's estranged son." And I was like, oh my God. Because The Big Chill is so, it's like just obscure enough that it sounds like I was making it up on purpose.
Ah, okay.
But I honestly didn't know.
Right. And that's the guy you eventually hooked up with, William Hurt's estranged son.
No, I hooked
Billy
up,
Hurt,
I hooked
Jr.
I hooked up with the guy that like was like
Was dipping you?
Yeah, okay. That guy. Who did not friend me on Facebook.
Very successful relationship since then.
No, that guy and I, we had like crazy sex. Like some of like the craziest sex ever. And then he refused to accept my Facebook friend request.
Oh, so then you're actually a scorned Facebook lover.
Yeah, I'm a scorned Facebook lover. Mm.
Instructive anecdotes from past dates?
I
have a hilarious anecdote from a past date. It's not as funny as yours, though, or as, like, quirky, I think.
Well, tell me.
Well, I was on a date with a girl, and we were at a Greek restaurant, and I had ordered something random, some unpronounceable dish, and it had come, and I was cutting it with my fork and knife, but it was very thick. And in some weird muscle reflex, my arm just lowered very quickly and slammed the side of the dish. So my entire dish launched onto the table next to us of two couples, just covered in my food.
That's amazing. I love that.
But like a cartoon shower of like slow motion couscous and garbage coming at you.
So you told your funny story.
I told my hilarious date story. Shower of just everything. Couscous. Broccoli, just smacking the two couples next to me.
I actually would love that if someone did that on a date.
Well, I did it on purpose to endear myself to the girl.
Exactly.
It was a strategic move. I do something embarrassing on every date. I like trip over banana peel on some dates. I lose my glasses and they have to help me home. This is the sort of thing.
I will say it does go a long way if you try to impress me.
Okay.
So I think one of your questions was like, should the guy pay?
Oh, wait, we're not there yet. But wait, where did I put that? Yeah, just whatever. Go for it.
So,
yeah.
I mean, I feel like if somebody asks me out, I do want them to pay for me.
Right. No, if they're the asker, you pay.
And I really love it when I don't have to make any decisions.
Also important.
Yeah. So when someone's like, what do you want to do? I just want to kill myself.
Right.
So normally if I'm like, if we're setting something up, I always say, you say where, I'll say when. So, you know, at least I'm, like, putting some effort.
Yeah.
And I always think, you can pay for drinks, and I'll pay for coffee.
Right.
That's the way I think about it.
I guess maybe in a movie instance, I will...
Also pay for the movie?
I'll pay for things in the movie, and I'll say, oh, if you want to get food, and then I will ask them if they would like to pay for the food. You know, to give them the option, and then as soon as they go up, just, you know, pay before they get the chance.
No. Well, I went out with some guy who was much richer than me.
Sure.
And so we'd go to all these really fancy places. He was very, very good at planning dates. Which is like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. Like, I felt like, wow. I mean, I just think if someone takes the time to be like, I want to take you to this really special restaurant that I go to.
Yeah.
That really is great. And so he would pay for everything because I would never have the money to be able to pay for it.
Right.
But then, like, the next day...
That's an outlier case, though.
Yeah. Well, I only date rich people.
So not for you. That's the average. That's the norm.
But then the next day, I would be like, oh, let me get your coffee, because that's what I can afford.
This is the transactional part of relationships, that it's all economic.
I think when you start to live with someone,
and it gets more
enmeshed. Half and half, or, like, you have to be honest about what you're making, so...
Right. Oh, yeah. You don't... have to pay, but if you're the asker, you should pay.
I think if you're the asker, you should pay.
If you're the asky, be deferential about it. Don't give the whole, oh, no, or you're tugging at the bill at the same time.
Yeah. I mean, I always do the, like, half move for my bag.
Sure.
And be like, no.
Right. That's understood. That's an implicit agreement in the date that the girl is going to pretend to go for her bag, you know. There's still some chivalry left out there. Make the first move, always the guy.
I think I probably made the first move before, for sure.
I appreciate that.
Why? Why do you appreciate it? Because you think you might be creepy if you're making the first move?
Well, that's obviously a part of it. But I'm creepy. I'm just a baseline creepy that's going at all times. So it's not as much as an issue for me. I bet for a normal person it would be. But, yeah, it takes a lot of the pressure off the guy, and he's able to relax more, actually, if you, at the right time, you know, make the first move. But by the end of the date,
I mean,
I'm going to
think it should really be a mutual move, though.
Yeah,
it should. You're, like, sitting there on the stoop.
Talking about Monty Python and
the
big chill.
And then you sort of just, like, both go in for it at the same time.
That seems a little serendipitous. Sometimes, you know.
All right, I guess. All right, so the first date I ever went on, I was 18 years old. I was a late bloomer, and I was with the guy who turned out to be my first boyfriend. His name was Rocky.
That is a first boyfriend name.
And so he took me out on my first date. He was older than me.
In his Camaro.
In his Camaro. No, he took me to a blues club.
Okay.
That was also a bar. Rocky's cultured. His parents were ambassadors.
Okay.
And I'd never been to a bar before, ever. I was petrified. But luckily, when I'm really scared, it just comes off as, like, uber cool.
In your mind, I could see you working that over. Like, I look uber so cool right now.
I was wearing leather jacket.
And you're just, like, cowering in the corner.
Yeah. And I'd never ordered a drink. This is a major bone of, like, anxiety for me. I was like, I don't know what to order.
This is a universal experience for 18-year-olds.
So I went in, and he was like, what do you want to drink, Lacey? And I was like, I'll just have a bourbon on the rocks.
that's an 18-year-old drink, too.
And he was like, my kind of girl. So later, he, like, walked me home, and I was still like, I don't know if this is a date. I don't know if this person likes me because I have no experience. So I just turned to him, and I was like, thanks so much for the date. And I stuck out my hand for him to shake it.
And he shook it.
And he
pulled you in and kissed you?
No, he didn't. Okay. But later...
I mean, that's a pretty neutralizing action.
That would be great if he pulled me in and kissed me.
That's what I would have done, ladies.
But later we were like... So I dated him for 3 years. After
right. As compensation for the handshake.
And he told me, though, he was like, you know what you should have done is gone for the shoulder. You should have gone for the shoulder squeeze. Mm. Like that. So I think if you really like someone... You do something subtle like that, right? Like you like touch their shoulder or you like touch their knee or their hand, you know? Like this this one guy that I dated was super good at this.
All right. Body super language. Fluent in body language.
He would like if we were walking in a door, he'd like put his hand on my lower back or he'd like just put his hand on my knee, which was nice.
Yeah. There's nothing invasive about that.
Yeah, because you can sort of just be like, oh, I'm just a very handy person. Yeah.
Handiness is great. Be handy. Maybe that's like that. That's some good advice.
Everyone should just be touching each other.
Yeah, just go to the date. Don't even sit in your chair. Sit in the chair with them and just massage them.
Yeah.
Their whole body, head to toe. Mm-hmm. And you're in. So that's, I think that's all the advice we have. Moves. I don't have like a set move list. Like a professional wrestler. It's like, this is the finisher.
Yeah.
That. But it's important. I think, yeah, structuring the date is smart. I usually liken it to Inception. You have to build the world of the dream and then bring your mark into it, convince them that it's reality.
So before you go on a date, do you have what you want it to be like all planned out? Do you have the fantasy of the date in your head?
Not particularly, no.
No. So no. It's not like Inception.
It's like a creative act, though. Once I'm in there. It's like when you write a story, you don't know where it's going to end up.
So what would you say your favorite date? Like your perfect
date. Perfect date is very similar to yours, you know. Mm-hmm. We have dinner, we have drinks. I would like a movie. I'm a movie kind of guy.
You want to go for the whole dinner and a movie, though. Not just drinks.
I mean, in a perfect date scenario. But usually I wouldn't...
That sounds like a long
I wouldn't put the movie on them. But I'd really like going to the movies.
I like sitting there too.
In silence with people, I think is important.
But you want
to
do that on a first date?
Oh, no. Probably. I was just saying like a regular date.
A regular date.
No. First date, I would just go for drinks or dinner.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, actual date. I like dinner and a movie. That's romantic to me. It's classic. You walk
home.
Well,
it also gives you something to talk about.
Hmm?
Yeah. It gives you something to talk about.
That's probably part of it, too.
Yeah.
Also, then I can judge them for their stupid ideas about the movie.
You liked Gravity? You're an idiot.
Are you serious? Oh, my God. Let's not get started on Gravity.
Sandra Bullock's hair never stood on end.
It never stands up. It's completely... She has a blowout the entire movie.
I actually did like Gravity.
Oh, I thought it was a great movie.
It was awesome.
For blockbuster fare, it doesn't get better.
Yeah.
A lot of shoehorn sentimentalism in there, though, for no reason.
I was sobbing. When she was sobbing.
I was sobbing because it was taking me out of the movie so much. No, I was like, oh my God, my suspension of disbelief.
You go to heaven. You're going to meet my baby girl. And I was like.
I said, this is ridiculous. They're scientists. They doesn't believe in heaven.
She has to believe in heaven. Her baby died.
She fell out. Wait, she tripped, right?
She tripped and hit her head.
Spoiler alert. Sorry, guys. Don't take your next date, your ideal date, to see Gravity, because it's spoiled already.
One time a date, we were supposed to see was
Sixth Sense.
Yeah.
We were seeing a film starring Bruce Willis.
We were supposed to see Spider, which was a Cronenberg movie.
Sure.
But we accidentally went to see this movie called The Sins of Father Almodovar.
What the fuck is this date this guy's taking you on? First takes you to a Cronenberg movie, although I did.
We were both quote-unquote film buffs at the time. So okay, we were trying to be like one out each other and like our pretension. So we went to see this movie, and it starts and he's like, fuck, we're in the wrong movie. But we decide to stay. And it has...
It's good.
It's a good movie.
It's freewheeling.
But it has the most graphic and disturbing abortion scene
Hello.
I've ever seen. This woman dies from an abortion. There's blood everywhere. Like, this guy sticks his hand between her legs and it's just like up to his elbow in blood. And afterwards, I walked out of there and I was like, this is God telling me something. That if I'm not on two forms of birth control, yeah, I'm going to get pregnant.
Did he try the popcorn trick during that movie?
Yeah, he did.
I'm not going to lie. I have texted girls before that I have scanners on Blu-ray. And if they want to come over. So Cronenberg works.
What do you mean scanners on Blu-ray?
Scanners where he makes people's heads explode. It's like the first Cronenberg movie.
Oh. Okay, I get it.
So girls, I also have scanners on Blu-ray, ladies.
This guy took me to see the Cronenberg movie.
Existence?
No, I'm talking about the twin gynecologists.
Dr. T and the women?
No, I wish. No, Jeremy Irons plays twin gynecologists.
I've never seen that Cronenberg movie.
And they're obsessed with this woman, this one actress. They pretend to be the same person, but they both fuck her. And they're obsessed with her because she has like a triple womb and like a double cervix. And she's trying to get pregnant, so they start to like take too many drugs and they delve into this sort of like schizophrenia. And they develop all these like crazy instruments to get her pregnant. So I saw this with this guy, Rocky. And I saw it the night before I was to go to the gynecologist for the first time to get fitted for a diaphragm.
Perfect timing.
So I'm terrified now. I'm terrified of what the gynecologist is like.
I match you with like jaws of life,
yeah,
and stuff.
And I get there and I'm like laying in the stirrups and I'm freaking out. And this nice little lady comes in and we're chatting. And I was like, oh, I saw this movie about these like mutant women that have like double cervixes and triple wombs, and it was really crazy, and they're like mutants and blah 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 blah. I think I say mutant like 5 times. And she turns to me and she's like, we have patients here that have 2 cervixes. So could you please stop calling them mutants?
Oh no, it's so sad. And then she revealed that she had lizard arms and you were in a Cronenberg movie.
And she revealed that I had 2 cervixes.
Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert.
Sorry, guys. All right, next question. What sex advice would you give virgins about to engage in their first sexual experience?
Well, it's funny. I just met a virgin. And
no longer a virgin, though.
No, she's still a virgin. No. Oh, after I met her. No longer a virgin, digitally. And I just remember being like, don't expect anything.
Oh, my God. She sounds great. Can I meet her? I would love to meet her.
Shut up, Carmen. Is sex your first time is just like...
It's not great. It's not great. It gets better, guys.
It definitely gets better. I mean, it's something you have to work on.
Right.
A lot.
Mm-hmm.
So I say just like practice as hard as you can.
Yeah.
How did you lose your virginity?
In a basement.
How old were you?
16 or 17. I think it was 16. And she was 15. Never gets better.
Gross, Carmen, that's disgusting. So was it like at a party or were you dating her and she came?
I was dating her beforehand.
Was it her basement? Or
it was her basement. I would never do that in my basement. My basement is, that's where my Xbox is. I'm not going to
sanctify the ground. So hanging out and making
Yeah, no, she was my girlfriend.
Oh. Did you love her?
Probably in teenage love at the time.
Sounds
I love
like
easy.
A boring story.
I love it. It was a boring story. She was at soccer practice. She was in her uniform still. That's probably kinky.
That's kind of hot.
Yeah, yeah. All sweaty.
See, I just remember being like, I don't care how it happens. It just has to be a great fucking story.
Oh, so you were building the world of the dream.
Well, I mean, it could have been like something really bad. Like I lost it to like a trucker on the side of the road. But I just wanted it to be like something that I could tell people.
Right.
And so I ended up doing it with Rocky.
Hey, Rocky's getting a lot of play on this part.
In the presidential suite of a hotel in Montreal that had a revolving restaurant. Not too shabby.
Your revolving restaurant in Montreal. Yeah, it's better than the basement.
Yeah, I think so. A little bit. But the sex was still bad.
Oh, okay. Come on. But then wasn't Rocky experienced? Didn't he have...
No, he was the worst lover. He was one of those
people... this transitions perfectly to our sub-question. What about people who have sex before but are still awful at it? What do you do with them? You try to teach them?
Well, I think I thought about that question and I was like, I don't think anybody's really bad at sex.
Right.
I think you just haven't met the right person and sex is really about compatibility.
Okay.
I will say, so Rocky at the time had slept with a lot of people. Like he was 24 and I think he'd slept with 33 people.
Impressive.
And
you go, Rocky.
I slept with no one. Mm-hmm. I was like number 34. And, but...
And that became your field hockey number.
That was my number on my jersey. But he... I don't think that he really thought about, like, sex as an expression of love or liking someone. And so he had...
Putting the liquid curse in you and then running.
I think he just had a very damaged view of sex. I think he was like, really hard for me to, like... want to have sex with you after I've fallen in love with you. Yeah.
It was a non-romantic act for him.
A non-romantic act. And I think that's really sad.
That's very sad.
Yeah.
Poor Rocky.
That's all I'm on him.
He'll never listen to this, right?
No.
Okay.
I think he's actually now married to a 55-year-old obese woman that I'm pretty sure he met in rehab.
I imagine. I imagine it's like a supermodel and you're like, number 35, you fucking bitch. is the value of sex in a relationship overestimated, underestimated, or properly estimated?
I think it depends. It's
this is subjective.
It's subjective. Some people don't really care about sex.
Asexual people?
Or it's just not... Yeah, a huge component of their relationship. It will always be a huge component of my relationship, I will say that.
Carmen's right there with you.
And because I do think of it as an expression of love.
Yeah. Oh, totally. It should be.
Yeah. There was someone else I was dating where I was like, you have this really twisted around. It's not like I
It was an expression of hate.
No, but I remember thinking
although like, that can be a very important part of it as well.
Hate fucking is great. But
A+.
I remember thinking like, oh, you're not going to get me to like you by having sex with me. I'm going to want to have sex with you because
I like you. Right. Hmm.
So, yeah.
Unless he was super good at sex and then he convinced you. It was like a rhetorical device.
I mean, there have been some people where I was like, oh my God, mind-blowing sex. But that's the type of sex that like gets in your brain. You're like, I can't stop thinking about it. It is hard. It's definitely hard to separate.
Yeah. Oh no, they can bleed together pretty easily.
Yeah.
Be wary of... Well, this is going to... That sounds disgusting. Be wary of the bleeding. But be wary of when it bleeds together. You know... It's very important most of the time, but keep them separate, and you should enjoy the person separate from that.
From the sex.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But enjoy the sex, too. But, you know, like the person.
Like the person, enjoy the sex.
Yeah. Like the person, love the sex. Or love both things, even better.
You can love both things.
Love both things. That's the ideal.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. Has sex ever undermined a relationship for you? Like, this person is horrible at sex. Goodbye.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. There was one person I really, really liked. But he had, like, a ton.
Of genital warts.
He had his own, like, huge baggage about sex.
Like,
he didn't want to get naked. He had, like, this thing about not wanting to get naked.
As in putting on more clothes before he had sex?
I was like...
Layers. He was all about layers turned him on.
He had, like, some weird body image issues.
Body dimorphism or something?
Yeah. And I was like, I love your body. I think you're really sexy. So I kept trying to be like, I just want to get naked with you. I just want to, like, feel your skin against mine. And he was like, I don't want to get naked. I want to keep, like, clothes on.
Jeez.
And I was like, okay.
This is giving me a lot of perspective of my own weirdness. I'm feeling great. I'll get naked anytime.
And, I mean, it was like a real struggle. And
well, I imagine it's hard to have sex with someone if they keep putting on clothes and you're trying to undress them.
But the thing is, it's like, so he had like tons of baggage that I could understand, but then that...
Wait, you can understand that?
Well, I mean, I'm like, I think I'm a pretty empathetic person, and okay. I'm like, all right, I get like that this is your own thing, and maybe we can work through this, but that never takes into account like my own right. regular sized lady baggage, where I'm like, oh God, are you not getting an erection because you think I'm fat, or like you don't want to be here, or maybe I pressured you to do this, uh-oh. Like, ah. So there's like all of this going on where you're right. like, I want to help
perfect
you.
Perfect storm.
Yeah. You're like, I want to help anxiety. You, but I also just want you to like me and I need to know that you want to do this. And yeah. Like, ah.
You rifling through your closet, throwing on clothes yeah. is sending mixed messages to
I mean,
me.
I did so. I emailed a sex therapist that I used to work with because I was like, we can sweet. Work on this together because yeah. I liked him so much.
Aw.
But then I sort of thought like, no, I really just need... This is such an important part of what I think a relationship is that right. I need to like be with someone that can fulfill me.
Right. Because you made the effort.
I've only not had an orgasm 3 times and I didn't have an orgasm with him.
Oh.
Because I was like so worried. I mean, it was just like, so much
there's too much going on up here.
Yeah. He was anxious. I was anxious. It was terrible.
Has it better relationships for you? Of course. It's possible.
Sex?
Yeah.
Duh. Yeah.
Simple. Moving on.
I think it's more like great sex is symptomatic of having a great relationship.
Yeah. Being super attracted to someone independent yeah. of that makes the sex way better.
And I also just think when you're the best sex I've had was probably with my ex-boyfriend.
Rocky?
No, not Rocky.
He's a terrible lover.
No. The guy that I was almost married to.
Oh, okay.
But it was because we were, both of us were non-neurotic, very confident people.
Sure.
And we loved each other. So oh. I was like, oh.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Easy one. What's the key to a successful, meaningful, and rewarding romantic pairing? Are there many keys? Is there no key at all?
Yeah, this is just an easy one.
Is it a small key, like the key to a mailbox? Or is it a large key, like the key to the city?
I have no idea, because I feel like I've never been
I don't know what these metaphors, they made sense in my brain when I wrote them.
But I've never been in a successful romantic pairing.
Oh, now you don't, I guess they've all failed. You don't consider them, like, successful in an isolated way? There was a period of time where yeah. you were very happy and felt fulfilled.
Yes,
and
I do with the guy I almost married, I think that was pretty successful. Okay.
Then it went south.
It went south, but we're really good friends now.
Okay.
And I will say that I definitely, like, truly love him. Do I think we would make good partners for each other? Absolutely not. Do I think he's the
only... But you did.
But we did at one point. But, right. you know, we outgrew each other.
Okay.
And, but I also think he's the only person in the world that I totally understand. I hate most of it, but...
You get it.
But I get it. And that's always comforting. But besides that, I think if I was in a new relationship and if I had a marriage, I would want to experiment with having an open marriage.
Ooh. Polyamorous.
In some ways, I just think... I get really bored and I need constant attention. It's how I communicate with the world is through my sexuality. And so I need to come up with some way to like feel alive.
And if you really love someone, you should be able to see past that. You should
yeah.
be able
I mean, I'm
to
not...
love everything about them. And if they want to explore those avenues, love
them. I mean, that's
a
lot of pressure. I'm not sure how that would go, but I'd like to have that conversation with someone.
Why not? Infidelity is part of 80% of marriages, you know?
Yeah, I don't want to be... I don't want to, like, cheat on my partner. I want to love them, so...
Plus, it introduces a whole great competition thing where you want to bang your wife way better than the other guy does. At least that's what it would be for me. I said, go. Go fuck him right now and then come back.
Well, this guy I used to training. Work with told me that his... He discovered... He's much older. He's, like, 65. But he had discovered that his parents had an open marriage.
Swingers.
They were swingers with nice. The couple next door. But one of the things that they did, the rule they had is no one could actually have intercourse because they were so afraid of getting pregnant.
Ah, this was in the olden times.
Yeah, in the olden times.
This is in the covered
and then
wagon.
Right after you like fooled around with that person, you had to come back and have sex with your wife or husband.
There's a lot of juices going around.
But I kind of like that.
Oh,
you're
do
like,
you?
So you're so riled up from this other experience, you're like feeling so antsy. Then you go back and you fuck the person you love. I think that's actually sounds great.
There's a lot of logistics in that, though. It's like sprinting across the street with the boner.
Yeah.
Can't lose it. Okay. So, yeah, we recommend that. Have sex with your neighbor's wife or whatever. That's the ideal. I think
that's the key to the mailbox.
Hemingway just got published. They published a bunch of his letters, and his ideal was that he would have his wife and his daughter living in one house, and then in, like, a back house have all nine of his mistresses.
Oh, my God.
So running between the houses would probably be really easy for him.
Hemingway. Ugh.
God damn you. How long do we have to deal with your minimalism for? Before we just get over it. Anyway.
It's like Henry Miller. Ugh.
Let's not go there. That's my boy.
No way. You know what they say about people who like Henry Miller?
What?
Douchebags.
I've gotten that before. You're not the first to throw that term around.
Well, Michael Chabon wrote a whole essay about how he used to like Henry Miller and then he grew up.
Right. Well, I'm still growing up. Michael Chabon's older than me. I'll write that essay when I'm 40. How should one re-enter the dating game after a committed relationship or a breakup?
Oh,
is there a way to do it besides looking, counting how many Instagram pictures they have? And
I think you have to have...
Going into a downward spiral.
I honestly think that what you do is you email all your friends and you say, like, hey, we all know I broke up with so-and-so. I'm back in the market. Please, someone, set me up.
Ooh, I think get right back on the horse.
I think being set up with someone is the best way to go.
Great Hemingway quote. While we're on the Hemingway side. The best way to get over someone is to get under someone
else.
Oh,
it's totally true. I didn't know that was a Hemingway quote. I thought that was a Lacey Warner quote.
I think it's Hemingway. See? You kind of like it. Wait till I start whipping out Henry Miller quotes. You're like, oh my God, he's so deep. It's mostly about like pig vomit and stuff. Yeah. So it's not that deep. But yeah. Walk down the street. There's beautiful people everywhere. All you need to do is have one interaction that just gives you that modicum of hope. And that
deal.
Can sustain
it's
you.
It's not hard to have sex in New York.
No, it's
you
not.
You walk out your door, you go to a bar, boom. You can have sex with anyone there. I guarantee you. Everyone.
that seems like a generalization.
It's super easy. It's super easy. But to have something meaningful, I think, is much more difficult.
Right. But there is that sense, that doom foreboding feeling that, you know, I'm unwanted. For at least a period of time after.
After you've broken up with someone. Yeah, absolutely. It's so hard.
So yeah, get through that as quickly as possible. That's the thing. Because you can waste, at least in my experience, a decade.
Oh, yeah.
No, I'm kidding. You can lose whole decades of your life reading Henry Miller, quoting Hemingway. I think that was good. What else we got here? This question doesn't make sense. How should one re-enter the dating game after a not committed relationship? Just go back outside, right? Yeah. That answer is fine. Yeah, any closing comments you want to give? Golden nuggets of advice.
Golden nuggets of advice. I think the trick is to not really take anything personally.
Yeah.
And to just sort of realize that...
All's fair in love and war.
All is fair in love and war. I mean, okay, so I just got broken up with. And it was with this guy...
Nice. Elaborate.
Who, we'd just been seeing each other and I really liked him, but it was very early on and he was going to L.A.,
and bad sign right off the bat.
Bad sign. We did a lot of traveling. We never really saw each other.
It sounds like an amazing relationship.
I thought so. But,
you never saw him. When you meet him once, and then he was just constantly.
We went on like 4 dates over the span of
4 dates.
4 months.
That's sure.
Yeah, I know. I was like, I'm moving up. It's 4 dates.
You're
and
progressing.
We had this like talk where I was like, oh, well. This is what I want from this. I'm not sure where you're coming from. I totally respect that you're still figuring it out. You go to LA and you think about stuff and we'll talk when you get back.
Very mature.
I thought it sounded very sensible.
Yes.
And so he goes to LA and I don't hear from him. And I send him like a funny cute text. And I don't hear from him.
A funny cute text.
It was really, yeah. It was like just like, I sent him his like horoscope.
Is that funny and cute?
Yeah, it's funny and cute. And,
no, what that says to me, it said, this woman is a witch. She's communicating with spirits.
But that's kind of sexy.
Probably. I would be into that.
I don't hear from him. And then I get this phone call from him.
Uh-oh.
And I'm like,
oh. Obviously, this text was not that, was neither funny nor cute.
So he calls me, and at first I'm thinking he's going to tell me he has an STD.
That's your first thought? Have you received multiple of these calls before?
No. And
whenever people call me, I'm like, oh, shit, no.
She's pregnant. She has an STD.
Not herpes.
But then it just is like chatting away, and I'm like, oh, my God, he called because he just likes me. He wants to hear your voice. But then he tells me, he's like, well, I called because, you know, we were talking about stuff before I went away. And I'm like, oh, no. And he's like, and I met someone when I was out in LA, and I've known them since I was a child. They were like away in China for a long time, and I think I'm in love with them.
Oh, no.
And I was like, what? But he like goes on and he tells me more about this lady.
What, he's giving you her life story?
I mean, I think he's...
It's like that montage from Up.
Yeah. But, I mean, part of me is like, please stop talking. Please
right. But he just keeps going.
So I could just like vomit. But the more he's telling me, the more I'm like, oh my God.
I want to date this girl too. She knows all about the Big Chill.
She loves William Hurt.
She has a William Hurt tattoo.
No, but I'm just like, oh, you really love this. Like, you're actually in love with this person. And it just sort of like...
What was so good about her? She spoke fluent Cantonese?
I think she probably did. I don't even think it's like what was so great about her. I think they've known each other for a really long time.
Comfortable with each other.
They grew up with each other. Yeah. I think he probably maybe even like had a thing for her.
Never. It was unrequited love that he's now realizing.
Yeah. And I mean, she just like got back to the States. I also think... that how great would it be to date someone that you never had to explain yourself to? Like, she knows his family, right. She knows everything, blah, blah, blah.
Now, this dude was definitely pining for this girl for 10 years.
And I think she's on the same level as him.
Okay.
I'm a little bit older than him, and I think in some ways maybe I was, like, too much of a lady.
He's a Henry Miller reader. He's got the Henry Miller reader. He goes to Big Sur and goes to the frickin' library.
And I was really proud of myself because I was like, oh, so this is not about me. I think actually you probably did really like me, but I just don't fit into the trajectory of your life right now.
Timing is a huge part of it.
Timing is a huge part. And like mazel tov.
Yeah.
Right? You gotta like be with this girl.
Until the next week you found out she was completely made up.
I would kill that.
Manti Te'o situation. It's like, let's not introduce that as a breakup strategy. Do not make people up if you're going to break up with someone.
But here's the thing. Best breakup ever.
Right.
Because he called me and he was super honest. He was vulnerable and direct.
Just be honest.
And I think that's the thing. Because I was really upset that he wasn't texting me. And in the past, I've been really flaky with people when I haven't liked them. Because I didn't know how to say no. And I think everyone appreciates being honest, even if it's no.
Be forthright.
Yeah.
Beautiful. I think that's a great anecdote to close. Thanks for helping me out.
Thanks for having me on the show.